happening? Today is Monday, February the 20th. Let's see. Lincoln on the 12th, Washington on the 20th, or was it the other way around?
I have no idea. By the way,
go back to when you were in school. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Happy Washington's birthday, everybody.
Am I the traditionalist or not?
Huh? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that also means that I don't have to deviate my thoughts. Times change, not in my mind.
Did you say deviant thoughts?
Yeah. That's just one typo away.
There
you go. Joining us this morning is the bank dude, Mr. Dalby.
Because the bank is closed.
We're a little in advance. Now, we haven't had you live in a little while.
Yeah, I think it's been a couple months since we've been live.
Well, maybe next month.
But nothing magical on the 20th of March. I do everything I can to avoid you.
Oh, understood. Our quote this morning, George Brock.
Broke?
Well, I'm thinking Brock, like Brock Candy.
Yeah. What did George say, by the way?
Truth exists. Only falsehood has to be invented.
Now, isn't that appropriate these days?
Scares.
I mean, everything from... I mean, you know, when a politician...
Reports?
Let's come back to that one. Yeah, I heard something. I was listening to a speaker the other day, and they said, if you torture the data long enough, it will confess to anything.
Yeah.
And it's really true. And when you listen to politicians speak, you know, they'll take some tidbit of truth and make it sound like, you know, it implies that that's the way it is. Everything where they're just taking something out of context and, oh, just like
well,
drives me nuts.
The media tends to do a pretty good job of that, too.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I would think part of that is trying to simplify. I mean, you guys spend how many man hours a year in all the reports? The mandated reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And then once in a while, we get a little something that says, hooray, 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 you know, a press release. And as soon as it starts to reference anything associated to any of those reports, 95% of us fall asleep or don't get it. Really critical stuff. It's what keeps the store open. But for most of it, most of us either there's no connection or it's so very complicated that we get lost in the details so we don't make that effort.
Well, believe me, you don't see all the detail.
No, just what's related.
Those are the highlights.
Yeah. So how do you boil down the message?
You know, that's really a tough thing to do each quarter when we put out our press releases. What exactly are you going to tell everybody? How are you going to approach it? And you want to try and do it in a way that's a little bit fresh and new and... But at the same time, there is an element for the investment community that you have to, you know, crank out the same consistent numbers. And if you're not consistent in the metrics that you give the public, how do they know if you're doing better or worse? So if I change the metrics constantly, then you really don't have an idea of whether you've gotten better or not.
Well, and conversely, if you're just focusing on the gap all the time, you don't celebrate the victory.
Exactly. One of the few things I learned from my dad. My dad was a golfer, and so I golfed with him a little bit, not much. But one thing that he taught me on the golf course is you always play absolutely by the rules. Then he explained to me why. He said, because if you got a really good score, if you don't play by the rules, you don't know if you golfed better or cheated better. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that's so many things are predicated off of that also. We'll talk about that when we come back. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby. John, you were talking about consistency, and I would think that terminology, trends, confidence, all those things are all interwoven with consistency. Whatever it might happen to be, that it all has to be measurable over time. No changing of definitions. I heard something a couple weeks ago. They said that if we were using the old, original definition of unemployment, it'd be between 13 and 14%. Okay. And it was on the heels of unemployment creeping up to 4-something percent, more jobs, but also more people now jumping into the labor pool because there's confidence that they can get jobs. Mm-hmm. So that consistency, I would think, is critical, whether it's quarterly reports or whether it's staff meetings or internal goal setting mm-hmm. or anything else. Is that a fair statement?
Going back to the adage we before the break we talked that I mentioned was, if you torture the data long enough, it'll confess to anything. So what we've seen happen with politicians is, let's change the definition, let's change the name, and therefore create what appears to be success when we're actually in a point of failure. I mean, it's absolutely the unemployment rate that you just quoted is just a classic example of changing the definitions to fit what we want it to say. With that said, since we can't really run the national
not
economy.
Yet. Not yet. Let's don't give up hope
Humboldt,
yet.
Yeah. What we can do, though, if you want to know, you're talking about consistency. If you don't measure in the same way on a regular basis, on a continual basis, then the measurement itself may change what the data is. And so it's hard to follow a trend line unless you're consistent in the way that you measure it. Now, things change. And we've seen things where, okay, we now have to differentiate, this type of loan from that type of loan. We didn't have to before. Circumstances have changed.
But you can still track.
So now I
end
up
for relative purposes.
Yeah, and right. So now I have two metrics: the old one, so I can track it against, the trend lines, and the new one, which is more. Relatively more important to us as far as understanding the risk profile of the bank. So just an example of sometimes circumstances change and you have to make an adjustment to your metrics.
But you still want the old.
I want the old.
For
so
the
I can,
consistency.
Yeah, so I can see where I am relative in my trend lines.
Yeah, I would think it would be foolhardy to get rid of the old. Because then you're starting all over again.
And not all circumstances are the same. So there are times where you're going to have to let go of the old. But
well, after three or four years, I mean, then it blends in and you can see where things are. Or it's like with a quote, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Now, do the regulators do comparable? I mean, when they're having their trends, let's say they had the one number for you, but also for the country or throughout the entire state. And then when the split happens, do they continue to track the old combined as well as the other? Or are you having to, as the regulated, having to remind them or to share that information, and now the onus of tracking is all on you?
Well, I've always felt the numbers are only half the story. So when I look at financial statements of a business, I can see what the numbers tell me, but they usually only tell you half the story, because if there's a significant change in, a trend, what happened? And generally there's something that happened, and that's the regulators will do the same thing. So when they come in and they see a significant change or deviation from the norm, they're going to want to know the story. And you're going to have that story, and in our case, you're going to have documented that story to show why, that you've deviated from the trends, or what circumstances happened that changed where you're at.
Does it, in the long run, make a difference, or is this just more of a general information knowledge for why the changes occurred?
Well, it depends on what the change was. So, you know, for instance, if all of a sudden you were losing millions of dollars a year.
Well, are they focusing on the numbers more than the reason why? Okay, let's say you're losing millions of dollars and there's a significant change. Okay, the pulp mill closed. Both of them closed. Okay, there's a story. Numbers are not going to change. Now there's an understanding why. Does that matter?
Yes. And the reason being is that the change, what you're looking for is the change permanent? Is it temporary? And how are you mitigating the impact?
What's your reaction to
exactly.
Huh?
and so many times you see it, you know, you see it where somebody's got a negative trend line and they just keep doing it over and over again. And next thing you know, they're out of business.
The digging the hole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The rule of holes.
Yeah. Keep digging faster. Yeah,
well, once you're in them, stop digging.
Yeah.
That's the rule of holes.
Well, and I suppose that's probably the positive, one of the positives out of operating in a regulatory environment of one sort or another, is you have a fresh set of eyes looking to let you know that if you're you're starting to dig a hole.
Well, and if you
how come, rather than not paying attention, all of a sudden the landscape changes and the horizon gets a little closer and now you're in trouble.
Because we're publicly traded, we're looked at it completely differently than most and by different people. But if in your own business, it's very important that you look at your financial statements, and even more important that you understand them.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. John, it's interesting, I would think, being a maturing business in a maturing industry, to have the peer groups that start to know that you exist, and then of that group, a subset that likes you, and even more narrow, those who feel comfortable in reaching out. I think that's one of the benefits of graying hair or lack of hair, is that we've been around long enough so we've got a network of peers that we can reach out to.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk and say, how did you deal with this? How did you, boy, you're really doing well. How? Do you guys get that in the banking industry because of the sense a lot of us have is how regulated you are? Even the days you're open, you're regulated on the days. Is there that much flexibility or that much opportunity to do that information exchange?
Actually, we do quite a bit of it. I have my own group of peers that I've established a relationship with. So I will pick up the phone and say, hey, what are you doing on this? How are you handling that? And they'll do the same with me, depending on the topic and so forth. And with that, it was very interesting. We were, because of the bank's performance, we were asked to be one of 8 presenters in the state in the top bank conference. So they brought in 8 bankers, and we would present our banks and then what things are really working for us, and then answer questions and so forth. And So I really got to know the other eight guys that were there, eight guys and ladies. Excuse me.
The gang
that
of
was
eight.
That was yeah. Guys was inclusive of all genders, but what really struck me is that the successful banks all did something differently, but it was based on the environment they worked in. So they looked at their environment, saw the strengths and weaknesses, the threats, the opportunities, mitigated the threats, and took advantage of the opportunities in their marketplace. And so every one of those banks was significantly different, at least to me, as a banker looking at them, and approached their market completely different because they had different markets.
Geographic or niche within the geographic area?
Well,
retail, residential versus commercial.
Well,
banks.
Obviously geographically different because we're in different areas, but you're looking at different demographics. And so, for instance, let me give you, for instance, we're in a very rural environment here, if you notice that. And so there isn't, there's only so much business to be had. And so a bank like ours, a community bank, has to kind of be a generalist. So we have to do a little bit of everything in order to survive. Where you take a bank in a large metropolitan area, some of these banks, one of the latest models is they don't even have a branch. They use Brinks and couriers, bring all the deposits in. They bank exclusively with a certain type of business.
So they reach out to the customer?
Correct.
And so you swing by the shop here to get a deposit, or your courier does.
Or the Brinks does. It depends on, depends on the business. Or they do a remote deposit capture, but really they have no branch. And you can do that where, you only need 1% of the market, to make your bank work, then you can highly specialize. Well, if I tried to do that here, I'd have, a half dozen clients, and that would be it.
Yeah, and the rest of us wondering what happened. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's where your business has to adapt to your market and your business model. So when you look at another successful business, it may or may not work. So look at the market that they're in, not just the model of how they're doing things.
Or the model to cherry pick out a couple of key ideas.
Exactly.
And apply it to where you are.
Be like your idea bank.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, very similar, a peer group of like kind.
And I go to another group, Sheshinov Group, that I meet with about 30 bankers of banks my size from around the country. And one of the things we all do is we all share one idea of something that's really working for us. And then we ask one question of something we need help on. And then the other 30, interject whatever they can to help you with that. And as I go around, a lot of those, I'll hear some idea they have, and I go, well, that won't work in my market, so just scratch it off. That one's done. Don't have to implement it.
So that's the basis of the gathering, is everybody brings an idea and a question?
That's one of them. And then we have, that's one session, then we have other sessions where they bring in keynote speakers, and then we have a discussion afterwards.
So I think with a room full of radio guys, that's like 4 days.
Yeah.
One question, one answer, because everybody's going to weigh in. Oh, boy. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Dalby. Sir, how do you know if an idea is going to work for you or not? I think we all tend to look for the Holy Grail in business, whether it's that latest book or that latest presentation of the idea that Cicero came up with.
Yeah, that's a really good question. It comes back to knowing your market and what your customers want. So I see it all the time where somebody, whether it's a banker or whether it's a business person, has a great idea that's good for them. The key is to look at your idea from the perspective of your client. And sometimes you can provide a service that is beneficial to them, but it's so complicated to try and get the story across that it's beneficial to them. And so how do you communicate something, you know, that's a, you know, feels like it's cutting against the grain and push somebody into that? So really understanding what your market is, what the needs are, and look at the product or the service that you're providing from their perspective. And we see big companies do this all the time where they'll change a product because it's good for them.
I guess the temptation is because so many business operators are working with their nose so close to the grindstone that they don't get a chance, or they're not forced to, or don't have the opportunity to step outside and to dialogue with their customers. Are there, I mean, to pick on you for a sec, are there any bank scenarios where the branch manager is on the floor, no walls, and that's their office, so that they are hearing, seeing, feeling, tasting, approachable, the whole nine yards, and that's just the way, that's the environment? Or is that even possible?
Well, not only is it possible, for most of my career, that's the way it was. As a branch manager for Bank of America, I was always on what we called the platform. That was the carpeted area where the desk sat and customers could approach them. And interesting little history, the reason it's called a platform is because back in olden days, it was actually a raised step or a stage, and it had a little fence around it and a gate. And you would actually have to open the gate and step up to get to where the bank officers were. So later became an open carpeted area platform, and that was very, very common.
And now it's just a spotlight.
Yeah. as the responsibilities of a manager increase, we have this thing of, you know, how much privacy do you need when you speak with clients? And so I found that I prefer to have a manager with a window so they can see what's happening, but in an enclosed space so that they can have confidential conversations. Because we, you know, last thing you want to do is pour out your financial conditions or your challenges in front of an audience.
Do you like the model of large windows or glass walls?
I mean,
some will argue that they're interchangeable. Some will. I mean, if you're literally in a room that, I've seen this in a couple of broadcast facilities, it's all glass. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not noise doesn't permeate through it. It's the thicker stuff, but it's all glass,
yeah,
and it's a whole different feeling, sense of openness. Now, some may say vulnerability, but either way, you know, no surprises, no secrets.
Yeah.
Everything is there. It was really, first it was uncomfortable, and then it was kind of cool.
I've seen both, and generally, you know, we've gone with whatever the architectural design is, so make it consistent. That's more of a modern look. But if you have a more traditional architectural design, you know, maybe it's not going to fit. Cost, the glass walls are much more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's definite different things to consider as you're contemplating
right.
your style.
And
yeah.
The other thing to think about is your plugs and your electronics. So you have to have your building.
Floors.
Yeah, so you have to have your buildings designed so that you can have plugs and communication lines that aren't in the glass wall, obviously.
Sure, practicality strikes again. Thanks for coming by.
Always good to see you, Brian.
See you, John. See everybody else tomorrow.